Lay. What's up? Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast. We're here to preview the 2024 Travelers Championship, an elevated event after a major, after an elevated event. So these guys are going to be at peak performance this week as they head up to Connecticut to play at the Travelers. It'll be fun. We'll talk about that. We'll recap an amazing U.S. Open, but first, I'm on Twitter at PDentric, the podcast at Always Press DFS. And my co-host, as always, on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how are we doing, my friend?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing well. Doing well. Third major in the books. Bryson DeChambeau got her done. So what are your thoughts on what we saw over the weekend?
Yeah, it was an incredible golf tournament. From start to finish, it was really good. I thought the golf course was good. Few tweaks I would make, but other than that, a lot of fun to watch and just a lot of fun to follow all weekend long. And Bryson, I mean, we saw it coming if you watched the first two majors, which is the only time we get to watch him unless you watch live. Congratulations. But he hasn't finished better than seventh all year on live.
No, he's been garbage on live compared to, yeah.
Playing these, like, whatever golf courses, like easy golf courses pretty much that they're playing. I mean, obviously, especially compared to this week, maybe not so much compared to the PGA Championship, but it's just a weird thing to play so well in three straight major championships and then not have really that good of finishes on that tour. So, it was just an awesome finish, man. I mean, you couldn't ask for anything better. And we got everything that we would have wanted this week.
Yeah, you got Bryson taking it down, like you mentioned, and he's been, I think it's top six or better in all three majors or something like that.
Something ridiculous,
which is pretty dang good, like you said. And we were kind of talking off air, and I'll give the guy credit. He's doing everything the right way. He's even when he's getting asked questions about the Olympics and stuff, he's like, oh, I'd love to. It's a disappointment. I knew what I signed up for. There's consequences for my actions. Like, he's saying everything right out the gate, which I'm like, wow, this is interesting. Right. He's not being one of the other guys. It's like crying. He's not going Taylor Gooch on us or anything like that.
Right.
He knows what's up, and it's good to see, and he's having fun doing it. But then there's peeling out of a parking lot immediately after your opponent went. And I get both sides of it. I've heard both sides. What are your thoughts on what happened with Rory McIlroy, who seen a lot of memes, a lot of comparisons over the last 24 hours, a lot of probably not deserved things, but that's what the internet's here for. What's your thoughts on what took place with Rory, especially on those final three holes?
Yeah, he was like hit and missed a putt inside of 3 feet, I think.
And like over four. I was like 436, 437 straight putts within 3 feet he's made. Yeah. That's called the gimme, folks.
Yeah, I mean, most of the time those would be pickups.
Especially if you're playing with Ricky Fowler in the Ryder Cup to clinch the Ryder Cup. That's a gimme.
It's pretty good. They weren't easy putts. So, I mean, especially that last one, I thought he was aimed like way too far outside the hole and it just took off straight right as soon as he hit it. So it's just absolutely brutal, man. I mean, I bet Bryson like during the tournament. So I was rooting for Bryson to come out on top. Didn't have anything or, you know, no lineups with Rory, nothing. So, but it's still not fun to watch that. Cause Rory's a very likable guy, in my opinion. Yeah. People don't like him, whatever, that's fine. But I like Rory. Never have disliked him. I don't think he's ever done anything to be. I feel like he's always a good competitor. And the fact that he left early, I don't blame him, man. I mean, yeah. That was as bad of a beat as you will see in golf.
Yeah, it's as bad as a beat as you'll see. It's a guy that's been in front of the mic for a lot of garbage.
Right.
Over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And in reality, he's playing this week in Connecticut and pretty good chance he'll have a be on the mic at some point this week also. As one of the top players, they're usually scheduled to have a presser within the first couple of days. So honestly, I've always said with certain players, I know the media loves the instant reaction, but everyone's human and you have emotions. Like, let the emotions calm down before you say something you're going to regret, which right. he probably would have in that moment. So like, just let the guy be the worst part. I felt, or one of the worst parts for this, that I felt bad for him, but we'll benefit as consumers. You see, like, as he's leaving, the Netflix cameras like right up his ass as he's running to his car. I'm like, oh, that's going to be some good stuff.
That plus they, you know, they showed him live on TV when, like, his reaction when, I mean, that's just the worst. That had to be the worst feeling. Well, it's not like he played bad either. He shot 69, shot one under on Sunday. And of course had it at three under at one point, or four under, not three under.
Yeah, he started out real hot.
Yeah. Four under at one point on his round through 13. I texted you talking about the backstopping on 13. Cause he hits it long and it rolls and it hits the grandstand in the back, and it rolls backwards back toward the hole, which made the up and down significantly easier. And then on the next hole, he hits somebody in the leg, or I don't know, he hits it in the crowd. And instead of going into the trees, it stays like on the outside of the trees where he's got a shot into the green. And so I was like, man, this is Rory's to win. And of course, bogeyed three of the last four. But yeah, I mean, it's just, it was hard to watch, man. I wouldn't wish that on anybody, even like the golfers that I don't like. It's still not fun, because I know the feeling, and it's just awful.
Yeah, between baseball and golf, I have felt that feeling many times. And he had like a 2-shot lead towards this stretch. Like, it is complete implosion, as you said. So that's a massive bummer, of course. And kind of would like to see him win this week, but we'll see how that goes, just to shut people up, because, you know, he has the divorce talks and divorces off and all this, and like, he's just all over the place in the media right now. Speaking of which, Tuesday, when this show pretty much most to listen to it, we should find out about this agreement, right? That's what they told us last week, that Tuesday the agreement will be announced.
I have no idea.
Yeah, that was the word on the street this past week, that there is an agreement. They didn't want to overshadow the USGA, so they're announcing on Tuesday is what they said. We'll get back to that, though, next week.
Yeah.
We talked about all this demise of, you know, just falling apart of Rory McIlroy, but I think we also need to mention that Bryson, who had his ups and downs, made some incredible golf shots, especially down the stretch.
Well, he got fucked on 18 bad when it hits he hits it left, and it's like a missile coming through there, and somehow dude is standing right in the way, doesn't realize the ball is coming at him. When they got Bryson DeChambeau on the tee, and it hits him and then falls where it does, which was an awful spot. He couldn't get the classic, relief from the temporary movable object. And it's right by a fucking root. Yep. I mean, just awful, awful break. And to get in that bunker was a great shot. And then obviously the shot out of the bunker was as good as you will ever see.
The shot out of the bunker was as good as you'll ever see. That putt was not easy. Rory and others, so like, because those greens are tough. Like, you're talking about Rory, like, and his things. I watched a lot of Thursday, Friday. That Friday round from Brooks, how many putts he had go ring around the rosy? I'm surprised he wasn't breaking things. Like, the way Brooks gets going, and he wasn't alone. I'm just saying, I saw a lot of his shots in the afternoon on Thursday, and a lot of guys were doing that. It was pretty bonkers how those greens played out, and it just came down to, I wouldn't say it's luck box putting, but there is a lot of like, did you get the right?
Well, it's a lot of lag putting, and then knowing to dive it into the hole too. Like, the problem with Brooks constantly is he wants to ram it in the back, and you can't when it's breaking so hard. And Rory's putt on 18 was downhill, and so he just had to tap it.
It was more like they were just showing it on TV here. His bogey on 16th, he rammed it hard. Like, that was one of those ones. Like,
I mean, there's an art to it, and you know, if you look at like somebody like Scottie Scheffler, who's been playing the best in the world, and he gets completely humbled this week. I think he had like one birdie in his last two rounds. Two birdies in his last two rounds. He had two birdies on Saturday. Did not have a birdie on Sunday. It's just an art to it and a feel, and you just kind of got to get that. And obviously Bryson with his science. Did you hear about the Epsom salt?
Dude, the balls and the Epsom salt. Like, part of me just embraces it all now. Cause like, if you would have told me this like 3 years ago, I'd have said Bryson's an idiot but like, the more that comes out with Bryson, you believe it all. Like, there's zero doubt of it all. And now I'm just like, this is just entertaining. It's just like that weird friend we all have. And you're just like, okay, this is who he is, but he just happens to be good at sports. It's really bizarre.
Yeah. No, I mean, and you know, the thing about Bryson too, is like, he's playing into the crowd. He's being a showman, and that like helps so much. It's not so much the YouTube, like, let's go play a guy with Walmart clubs, or let's play with, I'll play with Hickories. You play with normal clubs. Like that, that's not what's getting him fans was that shot on, I think it was 16 at Valhalla, where he hits it and like just immediately starts pimp walking right after it, 'cause he knows it's so close and he hit it so good. Like doing that kind of thing, showing emotion on the golf course. I know it's tough sometimes for some of these guys, but like they can try a little bit harder to engage. And some people just don't have it. And Bryson has it. Let's be honest.
And that's the thing. A lot of these guys don't. I think we're seeing more and more of these younger guys come up, even like, you know, you got Michael Kim on Twitter. You could tell he probably has a lot of that.
Right.
Like not like they're not the elite guys like Bryson is.
Yeah.
But there's a group of them that are coming.
Max is another guy.
Yeah. There's a group of them. You're never going to get Patrick Cantlay. I don't think we want to.
Xander.
Yeah. There's a group of them that aren't like Rory tries to. I think it's part of the problem where it's like, you're not that guy. Like don't do it.
Yeah.
But there is a young group that I think as the King things continue, you'll see this thing. As you were talking there, I just looked on Twitter real quick. Rory McIlroy withdrew from the Travelers Championship. He said he'll be back at the Scottish Open. So
there you go.
He needs a little time to,
I don't blame him.
No. No.
I mean, it's a terrible fucking schedule, let's be honest.
It's a terrible schedule. You just literally had your dick hit in. Yeah. Like, you want nothing to do with anybody right now. Right. He doesn't even probably want to pick up a club, period, let alone go in front of a million people and play golf. Like,
right, yeah.
There's no reason.
I don't blame him.
Like, they already announced on Monday today as we record, the Memorial will not be the week before the U.S. Open next year. That's going to change already, thank God.
Makes sense.
So, like, why isn't the Rocket Mortgage this week? But then you do Travelers next week. I don't care. It's not like these guys can't private jet it back and forth.
Yeah.
It's like, don't use travel as an excuse.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, yeah, Rory just withdrew. So, there goes that discussion. Anything else from the U.S. Open? Because we saw some, like, fun stuff. I guess it goes – recent form goes out the window because Pavon was just horrific, and now he's top three. But then you have Finau doing great in a major again. Fleetwood did his thing. Hideki did his thing. Overall, the leaderboard was actually pretty good. Like, that's what you kind of want from a major.
It was. My only kind of nitpicky thing about Pinehurst number two is, like, the off the fairway into the native area or whatever. I feel like that should be more penal. I know there was some bad lies, but I mean, Bryson hit it in there all day long and kept getting away with it. He had one bad lie, I think, out of like at least the last 13 holes I was watching. So that's my only, but I mean, the defense there is are the greens, and I get that because they are really, really difficult around the green.
Ridiculous.
But we knew that was going to be a factor. So it'd be fun to see it again, I guess, when they bring it back in another however many 5 years or 6 years.
2029, it's gonna be on like them, Pebble, and like two other courses where I got a 5-year rotation, and they'll sprinkle in a couple newbies here and there, it feels like.
Yep.
So that'll be cool. I was watching that the action there, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm like a 16 handicap. I think I would have been happy with like a 140 on that golf course.
It's so tough around the green.
Well, they were just hitting golf shots. They showed certain guys, I can't remember their names off the top of my head, but they'd have amazing shots in that they've rolled up to like 6 inches from the cup. One guy's backs up and goes all the way off the green. Another guy goes Hubbard's. And then Hovland does almost the same thing, and it bounces back and sits like 2 feet away.
Yeah.
I'm not even good enough to make the first shot of any of that close, let alone. Like, it's just bizarro world stuff.
It's really, really obviously tough golf course, especially for as long as they played it. You know, it would be barking 100 there, I think, would be good for me as well.
I think the only thing that benefits me is I like to play like links courses because I can roll it on the ground a lot.
Yeah.
That would work there. So as long as like that
could be on some holes, because sure, like there's a lot of like those bunkers that are in the front of the greens, and you have a very small, you know, window to get through them, you know. So
yeah, pretty wild stuff. It was fun golf. It was, you know, we've had years on this show, Jesse, where we recap the US Open like that course was garbage.
Yeah.
Because it was either stupid, burnt out, not necessary, or way too easy for an open. Like, this felt perfect almost. Yeah, I guess is what it should be. So, and yes, there were some good and some bad breaks that could have gone either way for certain guys. As a whole, I thought it played pretty darn good. So
I agree.
Looking forward to that again, like you were saying. All right, let's go to an elevated event. We have, I believe, 80 golfers this week. So they're talking about Webb Simpson. Well, not maybe 79 now with Rory out. Webb's back as another sponsor exemption. So that's fun. That's already got a lot of media having a good time with that. But this week, I did check before the show, so we didn't screw it up. This is a no-cut event. that's what I looked up and made sure. So, because last time, you never know, they're all different now. The last one at Memorial was
Memorial.
Yeah, it was like T50 and within 10. So like five guys missed the cut. like it's just silly stuff. But here we are, no cut event. So what do you have? We do have a lot of history at this golf course.
Yeah, plenty of course history here. Last year, Keegan won 23 under, three shots over Zach Blair and Brian Harmon. 2022 was Xander, 19 under, two shots over JT Poston and Sahith Theegala. 2021 was Harris English, 13 under in a playoff over Kramer Hickok. Last year was the first year for this to be an elevated event, by the way. Dustin Johnson was a 2020 winner, 19 under, one shot over Kevin Streelman. 2019 was Ches Reavy, four shots over Keegan Bradley and Zach Sucher. Bubba Watson's won this three times. Jordan Spieth, past champion. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, you just heard a bunch of different types of golfers. Like there's bombers, there's non-bombers. Because this is not a very long course. It's up in Cromwell, Connecticut, TPC River Highland. As Jesse mentioned, lots of action here. It's a par 70, 6,835 yards, the smallest course on tour. It's down 17 yards from last year, actually, which is pretty wild. But there's a couple like short par fours you can attack. One's like 296 yards. So they're going to take advantage of that. We need to do a bigger breakdown of the course. It's a treeland, parkland type course. So it's more about where can you be off the tee box. They're wide fairways, very gettable fairways. But if you go awry, the rough is very penal, or you're in the trees. This becomes an issue. On a course like this where it's shorter and everybody comes into play, it becomes a wedge fest and a putting contest, so you need to be in the fairway. I know, like we say, you usually want to be in the fairway, but there's some courses, ask Bryson, you can play out of the fairway and be just fine. But this is one where you want to be there. There's bunkers all over the golf course that make you also kind of hit it to certain regions and play up because it's a Pete Dye course, everybody. It took me a while to get that one out to you, but you guys know how that is. We've talked about it. It's a lot of hit it here to hit it here. Otherwise, you're in trouble. It's visually difficult unless you have course experience, which many of these guys have. So for me, if you want to keep it super simple, it's find the fairway, it's wedge fest, and birdie or better type stuff. But there's more to it. Like the par fives, you'll have a lot of approaches over 200 yards, but most are gettable in two, barring something crazy. Par threes are your most difficult task on this course. But again, a no-cut event, these guys are going to let it fly. So what's your thoughts on some of the stats you're looking at this week?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head, and then just wait course history on top of that.
Yeah, no, it's pretty – kind of know what we're getting this week, barring something pretty crazy. So let's get in to the DK scoring or pricing for the week. We have three golfers now over, and I didn't even have them checked off, man. That sucks. Three golfers over 10K. You got Scottie Scheffler at 12.5 off of his week, Xander at 11.2, and Ludwig at 10.2. So who do you like up here with Rory out of the mix?
Scottie Scheffler. I'm pissed that I didn't run once. I ran two lineups last week, and both of them had Scotty. One of them had Scotty and Bryson. Oof. But it got five of six. My six of six did cash in a single entry, but with Scotty. But yeah, I mean, like the amount of, I mean, he was 40, like almost 50% owned in the single entries that I was in. So I'm pissed that I didn't play a little bit of game theory and actually fade him just a little bit, but. I bought into the hype too much. So, but I mean, just going back to Scotty, I mean, he finished fourth here last year, 13th year before, 47th year before that miscut in his first try in 2020. But obviously, completely different course than last week. You know, he finished 41st last week and could not make a putt. So, I expect him to make quite a bit of putts this week. The other guy I would pick is Xander, but it's Scotty for me mostly.
Like you said, Scotty's problem last week is it was more of a lug. Or a lag putting event that doesn't do. Scotty likes to throw at the pin because he can. So he can do that again this week. That's the beauty of it. So, and he's very good off the tee. So I think you might get a lot more Scotty involved here. Unless he's just worn out. That's the hardest thing right now. These guys just play two ridiculously difficult golf courses. Like like I almost probably wouldn't show up till Wednesday at this event. Just like give me some time to decompress. But yeah, I'm with you. Scotty's the dude up here if that's what you're looking for. Otherwise, for me, I like Xander quite a bit as well at 11.2. He stands out in a big way as well. So those would be the two I am looking at here.
We didn't even talk about Oberg in the U.S. Open recap because so much other stuff happened. But he looked so good the first 2 days.
And then he went up in flames.
Yeah, he did. I mean, he, you know, he had one really bad hole, which Tony Finau also had a really bad hole in the same hole. It just was a matter of getting out of position and then not being able to get back into position. But his knee didn't look bad. I mean, I don't know about this whole meniscus tear thing, but either way.
Yep, I'm with you on that. So he could be interesting just because we do know that he can hit it very, very accurate off the tee. But it's just, I guess, in a tournament where everyone comes back to the field, it feels like I'm not as invested in him. But
yeah,
I guess I'm never shocked. I just never play him. It's kind of maybe a problem of mine. But I guess we'll see how that plays out. 9K range here. You got Colin Morikawa at 98, Cantlay at 96, Hovland 93, Hideki 92, Tommy Fleetwood 91, and Burns $9,000. What are you liking this week?
Obviously, Morikawa, 9,800 is the course history is not great. Missed cut. I guess they had a cut here last year, even though it was an elevated event. I mean, it's just what you were talking about. Who knows? 36th in his 2019 start there, but second, fourth before the U.S. Open where he finished 14th. So just playing really solid golf, just hitting the ball really well. Cantlay, man, he really flashed some form last week, was in the hunt for a lot of that golf tournament. Just could not make enough putts on Sunday to keep himself, shoots even par, which is, totally fine. But he just couldn't make enough putts to keep himself because it was just really difficult to get it close to the hole to have tap-ins, obviously, on the approach. But Cantlay's got really good course history here. 4th, 13th, 13th, 11th, 15th, 15th, missed cut. So very good. And then Decky, man, another guy flashed again last week. Yep. Showed up really well. 13th here last year at this golf course. 8th at the Memorial. And then finished 6th last week. So Hideki's playing very well as well. So those would be my three in this range.
Yeah, I was like bittersweet with Hideki last week. He was my one and done because I've used most of the top guys already. And he played really well, finished well, but on the weekend did like nothing. Played like even par over the weekend, which kept him in like top six contention. But what could have been type stuff in my mind, which would have been a lot of fun. But for me up here, like Morikawa is second in my model. He's phenomenal off the tee. Par fours, a lot of them are 4 to 450, second there. Fairways gained, he's first over the last 24 rounds in this field. Might be a little skewed after last week's stats, but we'll play with that. 14th last week, but second at Memorial, fourth at Schwab, fourth at PGA. His course history here is not great. That's my only concern. We look at Morikawa, missed cut in 2020, T36, but he seems to be playing some really good golf. So I like Morikawa at 98. Cantlay's got the course history, like you mentioned. Love Hideki at 92. And the other guy I'd take a peek at here in tournaments is Sam Burns at $9,000. Burns is coming off a fun one because if you see the finishing results at the U.S. Open T9, he was like plus five over like the first 15 holes or whatever, 14 holes on Thursday. And I was throwing things because I had him as a low-owned guy. But he came through, finished T9, looked pretty strong there, finished 15th at Memorial, 10th at the Canadian. So three straight really good finishes there. Missed cut here in 2022 at 13th, 24th, 43rd. I think he's a fun tournament play at $9,000 that I hope gets overlooked with some of the other guys in this range. And he's been a lot cheaper lately. So I think Burns at 9,000 is a GPP play for here. 8K, Finau 89, Sahith 88. He kind of fizzled out. Keegan 87, Russell Henley 86 will be very popular. JT 85, Connors 84, Harmon 83, Spieth 82, Kim 81, and Fitzpatrick 8,000. Who do you like in this range?
Start with Keegan, defending champion. He's been playing really solid golf over the last couple months, including last week. I mean, finished 32nd, 7 over par, but didn't have any like really terrible rounds. Just kind of plodded along like we talked about last week with Russell Henley, who was another guy who actually had a better finish than Keegan. He was snuck inside the top seven with a 300 round 67 on Sunday. But he's played here plenty. 19th, 19th, 32nd, missed cut 6th, 11th since 2016 for him. And it's just been, like I said, another guy just playing really, really just solid golf. Like, I don't expect him to win. I don't really expect Keegan to win ever. Obviously, he did last year. But just a couple of guys who I think are really solid in your lineups, as well as Corey Connors, 9th here last year, missed cut before that. He had another great showing, finished T9th, and he also made the Canadian Olympic team. So that's really good for him. And he hasn't missed a cut in for this whole entire calendar year. 20th at the Memorial, 6th Canadian, 26th PGA Championship. Dude's just going right along. Brian Harman at 8,300. Course history is pretty good. 2nd, 8th, 5th, missed cut, 8th, 6th, 35th. Was playing pretty solid golf. I don't know if he made the cut last. Did he make the cut at the – yeah, he did. Yeah. 21st, another solid showing. Brian Harman's playing pretty solid golf right now. Like him quite a bit at that price. And then Tom Kim, another guy who's just kind of coming on. He was in the hunt for a little while this past week. I guess – I don't know what he shot on Sunday. Yeah, 6 over to finish at plus 6 and T26. So not a great Sunday finish, but – I like him at this price at $8,100. I think that's probably too cheap for him and Harman both by just a little bit there. So I like those guys quite a bit.
Yep, I'm with you. I'll start at the bottom since you left off with the Tom Kim comment. It's far too cheap for the way he's playing. He's 9th in my model. He's playing very, very good golf, as you mentioned, of late. If we're talking wedge fest, he's 3rd from 125 to 150, which is going to be very popular here. Finds the fairways, does everything really, really well. So I'm with you on Tom Kim. Harman 17th in my model, but if I made this model apply for Pete Dye courses, there's a reason he loves this place. He's a Pete Dye machine. So Brian Harman at $8,300 is very, very solid. Love Corey Connor. He's 4th in my model at $8,400 for everything you mentioned, really starting to put things together. Russell Henley's 5th in my model. Phenomenal approach game as expected. 4th from 125 to 150, 18th from the next range. He's basically top 10 in all categories except birdie or better in the last 24 rounds that I'm looking at here. So I like him a lot. Keegan's course history and just the Northeast vibe that we know with Keegan is outstanding here. And Fino at 89, I think ride the wave on this one. I know it's not the U.S. Open or the PGA where he seems to dominate, but still 8th at the Memorial, 17th, 18th. Like, he's putting together amazing finishes here. And he's, you know, 45th and 13th the last 2 years. So I think Fino at 89 could be pretty strong because I think a lot of the people are going to go towards Henley, Bradley, Connors, that kind of – even Harman and Kim. So you might be able to sneak through a Tony Finau at the high price range up top there. All right, 7K range. We'll just do it all together. Sepp, M. Lowry, Homa, Clark, Scott, Cam Young, Binion, Kim, McCarthy, Seabez, Jason Day, Poston, Horschel, Pendrith, Bhatia, Dietrich, Zalatoris, English, and then three guys at 7K, and Hoagie, Jagerbombs, and Bobby Mack. So what do you like in here?
Yeah, start with Sepp. Did you see his hole in one on Saturday or
of course,
start Friday?
Of
course. Hard to miss it. What about Francisco Molinari's hole in one? We didn't talk about that.
Yeah, to get into the cut, that's impressive stuff.
Well, I'm sitting there watching it, just praying this cut gets to plus five because I had like two or three guys, especially like Scotty at plus five on both my lineups. So I needed it to get there and knew it was going to shoot way up. And it goes from like below 5% to like 30%.
Yeah, that was a bummer. Yeah.
But I'm laying there watching golf, and my wife was sitting there. I was like, well, he's got to make this in order to make the cut because he was plus seven, and motherfucker went in. I just – insane. But Sepp, I do like him. Fifth, previous to the U.S. Open where he did make the cut. Didn't have a great weekend, but he did have a 10th place finish at this tournament in 2021. Sungjae, 3 out of 3 made cuts at this event. Before the U.S. Open where he missed the cut, he was 8th and 9th. So he was kind of coming on there a little bit. And his best finish here is 21st in 2019. Adam Scott at 7,700, 19th and 13th in his last two starts at this event, 42nd and 12th prior to the U.S. Open where he also made the cut there. Ben Ahn missed the cut last week. And doesn't really have great course history, but just kind of the guy who can potentially, you know, just flash, especially in no-cut events. JT Poston, 2nd here in his only cut that he's made. So since 2017, he was miscut 2nd, miscut, 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 miscut. Pretty insane. But he did play well last week. Or he finished, where did he end up finishing? Do you have, oh, there he is, 32nd. And was playing pretty solid before that, 22nd and 12th in the two events prior to the U.S. Open. Actually, you mentioned him last week, and I was really kicking myself when he was not really in the hunt, but, you know, obviously around the leaderboard. He finished 16th last week. And before that was 22nd and 60th in his two starts. And then last but not least, Thomas Dietrich was around the lead. I think he was in, wasn't he in the, like, the last
group? Heading into the weekend, he was, I think after Friday, he's in the lead. And then
76 on Saturday,
on Sunday.
But even par coming back, he's just been like kind of flashing, like just, I feel like he's going to win sometime soon. I don't, I'm not saying he's going to win this event. But like the, is the Red Rocket Mortgage next week? Is that what's, something like that would be, I think, a potential opportunity for him to win. Cause he's been kind of showing up in these big events. Like he finished fourth at the PGA Championship. And then last week he ended up finishing 14th. And also he didn't play the Masters, but either way, I think that eventually this year he's going to, you'll see him in the winner's circle.
Yep. I think you're right. Cause we saw him, he did this, he did it at, Torrey earlier this year. He was hanging out there. He can bomb it. So it's one of those, if it's a course you have to kind of try to overpower this, it could be good. That's why I'm wondering how this week plays out for Dietrich, but like Rocket Mortgage and 3M coming up, we know those are courses you can bomb it and the rough isn't too penal. Like he could probably have a field day at those. I'm with you on Dietrich. We'll have to dig in on him going further, but definitely someone to keep an eye on. For me in the 7K range, Sepp Straka, $7,900 bucks, sixth in my model, a second in fairways gained, which is great because that used to be a big bugaboo for him. He's a phenomenal long iron approach guy, so short wedge is not great, but from 150 to 175, he's sixth. He's third on the shorter par fours. Really good stuff from Sepp. Sungjae could be interesting because we've seen it week in and week out with him. It's like almost all or nothing for Sungjae. Finished 26th, or no, that's Tom Kim. Sungjae, miscut, T8 at the Memorial, T9 at Charles Schwab, miscut at the PGA, T4 at Wells Fargo. That seems like an amazing GPP play at $7,900. That seems absolutely beautiful for a guy that we know can put it together at any given moment. And if it's more of a find the fairways and make it happen, he's seventh in this field and fairways gained over the last 24 rounds. So I do like what we have from Sungjae as a tournament play. Shane Lowry is a guy I always like in kind of shorter, you know, hit your spot type courses. He's first in this field from 125 to 150 over the last 24. Wyndham Clark's very interesting. I know you mentioned him. Wasn't too long ago, this guy was like 9 to 10K every week. Now he's down to 77. Like, I know he's not lights out like he once was, but I don't feel like he's completely lost his ability to play great golf. So that's just an interesting one for me if you're looking for upside in a tournament. Siwoo Kim at 75. He's a Pete Dye machine, playing really good golf. Didn't have the outcome he was probably looking for last week, but still made the cut. Continues to play really well. Denny McCarthy, if it does turn into a putting contest, that's your dude, naturally. So $7,500. And when it comes to McCarthy, seventh here last year after a miscut, 73rd withdrawal miscut. So nice finish last year for McCarthy. And a couple more. I do like the post and comment because it's kind of an all or nothing, but actually coming in pretty decent form right now. So I think that makes JT worth an argument. Seabez, I'll keep going back to Seabez quite a bit. The approach game is usually pretty darn good. So I got no problem there. And then Bhatia at 72. I have Dietrich. Last but not least, though, I'll mention Harris English. I liked him a ton last week. Played him as a nice cheapy play. Finished pretty well. He's 61st in the model, so it might not stand out to many people. But he had the 41st last week, two missed cuts, 18th at the PGA, 60th at Wells Fargo. So the form's not great, but the approach game is pretty solid from Harris English. And at this tournament, 60th, 19th, 1st, 71st. So a couple top 20 finishes in his last four tries. So if you're looking for something cheap, I don't mind Harris English. Who do you like in the 6K range?
Start with Austin Eckroat. Two out of two made cuts here, 24th last year. Seamus Power, your boy, ended up missing the cut last week, but has got pretty decent course history. Missed cut 25th, 19th, 66th, 36th, missed cut. Putnam at 6,400, four out of four made cuts here, finished 13th in 2021. Lee Hodges, 25th here in 22, missed it in 23 last year, but has five straight made cuts on tour. I don't think he played last year for whatever reason. We don't have those finishes loaded. Yeah, he didn't play at the U.S. Open. Eric Cole, 6,300. Not playing very good coming in, but played pretty decently here last year. And the same thing with Chris Goddard up at 6,000 stone men. If you're trying to jam in a bunch of dudes with Scottie Scheffler, there are a few guys down there that I would consider.
For sure. And one thing I'll say is about 7,500 and below. Get used to these names, folks. This is what we get the next few weeks. and they'll be like, just don't be surprised when Mackenzie Hughes is 10-2 next week or something. So I'm just going to throw that out there to you. Because I do like Matt Hughes at 6,900 bucks. I know the models might not look great. He's actually second in this field in putting over the last 24 rounds, which is kind of surprising. But he's more of a long iron guy compared to short iron, but still 6,900 bucks, playing pretty good golf as a whole. When you look at Mac, he finished. He's actually had back-to-back missed cuts, two very difficult tournaments. No missed cut this week. Seventh at the RBC Canadian, missed cut at the PGA, sixth at Wells Fargo. That's five really tough tournaments in a row, looking back at that. So to have two top sevens and three missed cuts like at 6,900 bucks, I'll take the tournament appeal. Austin Ekrop at 68, I like. Seamus Power at 65. 29th in the model, you mentioned like his recent form and stuff. I do like where he's trending here, and he does have very good course history, as you mentioned. So I think Seamus at 65 was a very fun one down here. If you're just looking for something boring, Svensson at 64, but it's a no cut, so you probably don't want boring. And then Putnam at 64 is another guy I don't mind taking a swing at on this one. All right, let's recap it. 10K and above, Jesse.
Scotty Scheffler.
Yep, I'm just going to let us do that one today. With there's only three guys up there. Like, what are we doing? 9K range.
I'm going to say Hideki.
I like that call. I'm going to stick with my let's be a little on the wild side and go Sam Burns on this one at 9K. 8K range.
I'll say Harmon.
That's a good one. I will go with Tom Kim at 81. 8K range. I think I'm going to have a lot of like two 9K, two 8K guys. Easily. Like, I really like those builds.
Yeah, I think that's easy to do.
Yep. 7K range. I'll let you pick two. It's a little big range.
I'm going to say Sungjae and Poston.
Yeah, I'm going to go Sungjae as well. I'll go Sungjae, and I will go with Sepp Straka. 6K range.
I'll say Lee Hodges.
I'll go Seamus Power. I think there's something there this week. So it's easy to build lineups this week. It's all I'm going to say. Very, very easy to build lineups this week. If you're starting at a GPP lineup, where are you starting?
Scotty Scheffler, Brian Harmon, Tom Kim.
I'll be slightly different to mix things up here. I will go with give me Sam Burns, give me Brian Harmon, and give me Tom Kim. You guys figure out the rest from there. If you want to go Scotty, you still can pretty easily, or you can go at 9K. All right, Mr. Who we got winning this thing on your DraftKings odds? Scotty's plus 360 right now.
Yeah, he was 4-1 earlier, so that's been bet down. Yeah, but obviously outside of Scotty, you don't really want to bet at 3. Cantlay, 20. He putted it so well last week.
Yep.
I could see that kind of translating a little bit to this week. It's obviously completely different greens. But so Cantlay at 20 would be potential. Corey Connors at 35. Tom Kim at 45. And, yeah, that's pretty much it.
All right, my top 20 funnings for the week. I don't mind Connors at plus 120, Tom Kim at plus 140. I feel pretty good about that one. I think he is. I wouldn't be shocked if we see him in one of the last groups on Sunday. He's playing sneaky good golf. But if you want a couple like plus 200 plus guys, like Bhatia at plus 220, Matt Hughes at plus 260, the way he's striking the golf ball right now. And then if you want a super duper, there he is. Seamus Power is plus 360. If you want to have some fun there, I think that's got some appeal. And remember, it's only like 79 golfers, so you know, third of the field, folks. You just got to be the third. You just got to be the top third of the field, which again, not easy in golf. But I'm just saying, there's a chance on this one. All right, final thoughts this week, Jesse, before we head out and get ready for some Korn Ferry-esque golf the next couple of weeks.
I don't. Just looking forward to the Open Championship here in about a month. So.
My favorite major. My favorite major. I can't wait. So we'll check that out and much, much more. But for now, check out Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods, the podcast at Always Press DFS. I'm at BD Intrick, and this was your 2024 Travelers Championship preview. Catch you all next time. Show